It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Kristen.
I feel like, Kristen, when women get pregnant, there are a lot of women who kind of treat it as a free-for-all. Not necessarily in a bad way, and I'm talking in terms of eating, not just like behavior and running naked in the streets. Let's
drinking, smoking.
We're focusing on pregnancy weight gain today, and I have known several people who kind of use pregnancy as an excuse to eat whatever they want.
Yeah, I remember my mom telling me that when she was pregnant with her my oldest sibling, she was so excited because she went to the doctor. And he told her that she could gain some weight, and she was like, awesome! And then she kind of way overshot and had some work to do after the baby was born.
Right. It's interesting how different people have different amounts of weight that they can gain during pregnancy and that they are able to gain during pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Not everybody gains a lot of weight.
I actually have a girlfriend who initially lost weight mm-hmm. when she first learned that she was pregnant just because it immediately cut out drinking, just calories from alcohol.
That's true.
That makes it sound like he was drinking a lot. But, you know, I mean, beers.
Yeah, one thing to think about in terms of people who lose weight right when they get pregnant is that, you know, you get in a mindset of, okay, well, I really need to take care of myself because I really need to take care of this baby. So if you're starting to eat, ideally, if you're starting to eat more healthy foods, you know, you have ideally cut out alcohol, you know, it is possible that some people might lose weight right when they get pregnant.
But the whole thing of eating for two, not necessarily the right mindset for pregnancy.
Right. I was really surprised by how few extra calories you have to eat when you're pregnant.
Well, before we break down individually the recommended calories per day and how the weight that you gain during pregnancy is distributed, let's go over just on average how much weight it's recommended that pregnant women gain.
Right. The American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists says that underweight women should gain between 28 and 40 pounds. If you're of a normal weight, and this is calculated using pre-pregnancy BMI, body mass index, by the way. Normal weight women should gain between 25 and 35 pounds. If you are overweight, between 15 and 25. If you are considered obese, 15 pounds is the recommendation. And if you're carrying twins, it's normal to gain 35 to 45 pounds.
And that range of recommended weights is relatively new because in the early 20th century, doctors were very strict with pregnant women about sticking to 15 to 20 pounds. We read some stories of women who were terrified to go to their gynecologist for their checkup, mm-hmm. Fearing that they had gained too much weight and be chastised for it. And then in the 1960s, the average weight gain among pregnant women was about 25 pounds. And so in the 1970s, the recommended weight gain was then raised to 25. And in 1990, 25 to 35 pounds was just across the board the recommended range.
Yeah, and what has happened between 1990 and now is basically that there are many more obese women in society. So the Institute of Medicine changed its guidelines in May of 2009. Their previous recommendations had been released in 1990. And according to the IOM, American women are now a more diverse group. More of them are having twins and triplets, and they tend to be older when they become pregnant. And as they point out, women today are also heavier. So the guidelines for weight gain have been boosted up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So in 2003, the average weight gain among pregnant women was 30.5 pounds, according to the National Center for Health Statistics. But according to the American Congress for Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the weight gain has gone up even since then, and they report that 1 in 5 women gained more than 40 pounds during pregnancy, which is considered excessive for all women regardless of their BMI.
Correct. And in 2008, approximately a third of pregnant women had weight gains outside of the recommended Institute of Medicine guidelines, whether that's the 1 in 5 who gained more than 40 pounds or the 8% who gained fewer than 11 pounds, which is pretty bad territory.
Mm-hmm. And we're not so much concerned about exceeding those recommended weight gains because of, celebrity-induced need to get back to your pre-baby body.
Right, erase any sign that you ever had a child.
Exactly. It's not a concern about that, but legitimate concerns for maternal health and health of that developing baby.
Right. The weight breakdown that WebMD gives is pretty interesting. I never really thought about it in terms of all the stuff that's going on in your body that's causing you to gain weight. It's not just the baby you're carrying around, because if the only weight was the baby, you would only get like 8 pounds heavier.
Right.
So their breakdown shows that the baby itself is about 8 pounds, give or take. I was only 6-something. I was very tiny. I was also jaundiced. So anyway, the placenta is about 2 to 3 pounds, as is the amniotic fluid and the breast tissue. Blood supply is about 4 pounds. Uterus increase 2 to 5, and the runner-up to the baby itself is fat stores for delivery and breastfeeding, which is 5 to 9 pounds.
And that adds up to a total of 25 to 35 pounds. And if we chart that across the trimesters, you typically gain about 2 to 4 pounds during your first 3 months and about 1 pound per week for the remainder of the pregnancy. And according to the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists across the pond, they say that really all that's needed for in terms of that eating for two, it's only 100 to 300 additional calories per day, equivalent to a couple pieces of toast, which, I'm sorry, that is a letdown.
That is a letdown. I know. I would totally...
What about all those nachos and cartons of ice cream?
What about those whole rotisserie chickens?
Yeah, entire pizzas. Man, way to burst our bubble, Brits.
And speaking of gaining weight, according to Maternal and Child Health Journal in 2009, excess pregnancy weight is associated with an increased risk of the child being overweight, and the impact is greater among high and obese BMI women than normal BMI women. And the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, they say that the risks to the baby of the mother being overweight include miscarriage, neural tube defects, larger birth weight, stillbirth, and obesity and diabetes for the child later in life. Not to mention that obese women have more difficult labors and births and are more likely to need an emergency C-section.
Right, and as you mentioned earlier, pregnancy weight gain is more of a concern, and even not so much pregnancy weight gain, but pre-conception weight is more of a concern because now, according to the Institutes of Medicine, nearly two-thirds of U.S. women who are of childbearing age are overweight or obese. So really, gynecologists are starting to urge potential mothers to, instead of thinking so much about how much weight they might gain while they're pregnant, but to think about whether or not they need to lose weight before they begin trying to conceive.
Absolutely. And a 2007 study by the in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that counseling women before and during pregnancy does make somewhat of a difference. The study showed that they counseled women on adding high-fiber foods, increasing vegetable and fruit intake, and it didn't prevent excessive gestational weight gain, but that group, the one that was counseled, did not have any high birth weight babies.
Mm-hmm.
The eight mothers who did have high birth weight babies were all in the control group, the ones who received no counseling, and they chalked that up to the mothers, on average, who had the overweight babies being taller. Well, I'm sorry, not overweight babies, high birth weight babies. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really not. Those eight mothers were on average taller, had higher gestational weight gain, so they gained more during pregnancy, and they had longer gestation than the other women, neither the control or the intervention group.
But that kind of comprehensive nutritional care and counseling will also depend on the kind of health care that a mother has available to her. For
mm-hmm.
instance, there was another study finding that low-income women in particular are more at risk for that excessive pregnancy weight gain because they are the least likely to receive that kind of prenatal care.
Yeah, and, you know, just reaffirming what we've said, the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, I really should maybe start using their acronym, said that it is best if overweight women lose weight before they conceive, because dieting during pregnancy is just not recommended. And I know we talked about how it is possible to lose weight when you get pregnant, when you first get pregnant, just because maybe you're starting to eat healthier, but going on some massive diet and starting to exercise too much when you're pregnant, give yourself a break.
Right. That is the last thing that we want to somehow accidentally get across, is that you're supposed to diet during pregnancy, because that is the opposite of what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas moderate exercise, like walking or swimming, my mother, for instance, took ballet while she was pregnant. Those kind of gentle exercises are okay, and of course you want to eat healthy food, but any kind of dietary restrictions or even exercise regimens that you might put yourself on should be guided by your doctor.
Correct. Another 2000 study, this one published in the journal Obstetrics and Gynecology, showed that overweight women who gained less than the recommended 15 pounds, now this is overweight women who gained less than 15 pounds during pregnancy, actually had better pregnancy outcomes with a lower risk of preeclampsia, C-section delivery, and abnormal sized babies. And abnormal sized babies is not my quote, it's theirs. So I'm really trying not to be mean.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, we have to talk about something that has come more into mainstream medical discussions in the past few years, and that's something called pregorexia, which is when pregnant women will intentionally starve themselves when they're pregnant, because there's this association in the mind between being pregnant and just getting fat.
Right. Yeah, it's not uncommon to hear pregnant women talk about just feeling so big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have several friends who've had babies, and they just said, I feel like I'm as big as a house. And, you know, you're like, well, you're pregnant, lady. You're carrying a child inside of you. It's okay, you know, to gain a little weight. Obviously, you're going to get bigger than you were pre-pregnancy.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com.
where America goes to hire.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
According to WebMD, pregorexia is rare, but it might be more common among women with a history of eating disorders or those who have a weak social support system. And just like the relationship between obesity and exceeding the recommended pregnancy weight can potentially cause problems for that baby, pregorexia, obviously you're not taking care of your body as you should, and those can also cause certain kinds of birth problems as well.
Right. Health officials, this is from a New York Times article. Health officials estimate that about 20% of pregnant women don't gain enough weight, which can lead to things like premature delivery, low birth weight, and long-term health problems.
And the Daily Beast and the Double X blog over at Slate and other sources have pondered whether or not our celebrity obsession with baby bumps and then tracking from the baby bump to how fast is she going to lose her pregnancy weight and, oh, look, she's back in her bikini body. These incredible transformations that we now chart on in our tabloid culture are somehow simulating more pregorexia among mothers. But statistically, it's still more of the exception, whereas more women tend to exceed their weight gain.
Right. And not to sound like a bitter hag or anything, but I mean, celebrities, your typical celebrity probably has a nanny of some kind, somebody else helping.
So a trainer.
And they don't have a daily job.
Exactly.
That they have to go to unless they're on a movie set or something. So, I mean, you know, they have time to exercise a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right after baby comes.
And speaking of postpartum weight loss, I'll be very interested to hear from listeners out there, mothers out there who have had to go through this, because obviously it takes a while to get that weight off,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be different for everyone.
Right. The Mayo Clinic, they have some general advice that says if you exercised, you know, gently during your pregnancy and you had an uncomplicated vaginal delivery, it's generally safe to start exercising within a few days of delivery. I personally would use that as an excuse to sit around in my pajamas, but...
Well, and fun fact, you lose about 10 pounds during childbirth.
Yeah, but the rest of that fat that's hanging on there needs a little help. And so, the Mayo Clinic recommendation, start slowly and be gentle with yourself. Know that you're not some crazy celebrity who loses all that weight right away and is in a bikini 2 weeks after. Or walking on the Victoria's Secret runway. What is up with those Victoria's Secret models? I feel like they all give birth and then they're on the runway the next day.
Well, and the thing that we have to take into account, too, is, well, it might be hard to go out for that 5-mile jog when you have a newborn to
right.
take care of.
Who can't regulate its own body temperature.
Exactly. Now, there's also the theory that breastfeeding might stimulate postpartum weight loss. For instance, there was a study a couple years ago among 36,000 Danish women that found that the more a woman breastfeeds, the less weight that she was retaining 6 months after birth.
And, of course, we have to take into account whether she was overweight before, what she gained during the pregnancy, mm-hmm. and how long she was nursing. And then a small study, this is a separate study by Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, found something different. And they found that non-lactating women lost more body fat than lactating women at 6 months and at a faster rate.
Conflicting study results.
Oh, my God!
What do we do? Yeah, in that conflicting result, they thought that maybe prolactin, which is an appetite stimulant, could lead nursing mothers to overeat. And non-lactating mothers might be able to exercise more vigorously in the first 6 months.
Right. Because you are expending a lot of calories when you're breastfeeding your baby.
It's about 600 calories a day, I think.
But you also have to take a lot in to keep that up. And so if you're not... Maybe if you're not taking in enough calories, you could be shedding weight faster than average. I'm not sure. But one interesting point that UNC Greensboro nutrition professor Cheryl Lovelady pointed out is that some of these rapidly shrinking breastfeeders, which is the name of my next band, were quote-unquote restrained eaters before pregnancy, which slowed their metabolism. Once they got pregnant and they're eating more, and once they're breastfeeding and maybe taking in more calories, they're actually eating enough to keep their metabolisms up and running. So eating more could help you lose more.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And according to a 2003 study from the International Journal of Obesity, this was charting women's postpartum, or I guess preconception weight, and then their weight a year later. Women were on average 3 to 13 pounds heavier than they were preconception. However, 41.7% of the sample population had body weights equal to or less than their early pregnancy body weights. So, you know, obviously during that first year, it's probably not going to be so easy to slip back to your pre-birth weight. You might never see that pre-birth weight again, but, by and large, you do lose a lot of it, sounds like.
You know who else can't lose the post-baby weight?
Dads
can't lose it either.
This was, here's the thing, women, as you're listening to this and thinking, man, this is just another road to hoe for us. Well, this pregnancy weight gain also affects men.
Mm-hmm. In 2009, British research firm OnePoll reported that dads-to-be gain an average of 14 pounds during their partner's pregnancy. There were 5,000 men who answered this survey, and they all said that they were eating more as their partner's pregnancies progressed. And they break it down. The top one is eating out more frequently, the top reason. So that's 42%. 41% increased availability of snacks in the house, I guess like pickles and ice cream.
Food cravings.
Food cravings. And the one that I'm a little skeptical of.
Yeah.
Well, a lot skeptical of. 25% said that they gained weight because they had a desire to make their partner feel better about her own weight gain.
That sounds like a convenient excuse for going to that snack cupboard.
I'm just trying to make her feel better.
Yeah, no, I'll just eat more of these chips.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the last one at 20%, they said being served larger portions by the moms-to-be, who were clearly holding them down,
right,
tying them down and force-feeding them, I'm sure.
But then after all is said and done, only 30% said that they joined their partner in postpartum dieting.
Yeah.
So watch out, fellas. You are not immune to this pregnancy weight gain. And since we have mentioned the pickles and ice cream a few times, fun fact about pregnancy food cravings, scientists still don't know why moms-to-be have strange cravings.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. It could be your body just telling you it needs something. It could be the way that your body fulfills its quota for the day of things like sodium. But WebMD talks about how possibly we could chalk up these cravings to hormonal shifts. Hormones do intensify the sense of smell, which can influence taste. And frankly, if you're feeling bloated and crabby, you just might seek out comfort food.
Mm-hmm. Which is why dietitian Elisa Ziad and WebMD recommend dividing your meals during pregnancy into 5 or 6 smaller meals during the day.
Right. Avoid drops in blood sugar. Avoid the craving.
You can just constantly graze.
Exactly. But graze on, like, beans and pasteurized milk and
broccoli,
lean beef, fortified orange juice.
And you know what? I bet that there are so many women listening right now who have been pregnant and experienced these kind of cravings, mm-hmm, who are sitting just laughing at us right now. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I wanted beans, gals. That sounds... Oh, yogurt, low-fat yogurt.
Yeah, hey,
pass it over.
Look, whatever. If you can stomach some sweet potatoes and whole grains, more power to you, ladies.
So, what was our initial question? Is there a normal pregnancy weight gain? There are recommended guidelines, mm-hmm, now based on the BMI. Doctors are now more concerned about women's weight in pregnancy, not so much because of how much we're gaining, but how much we're weighing beforehand because, mm-hmm, of the obesity epidemic.
It sounds like before you get pregnant, or if you know that you want to get pregnant, just try to be as healthy as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then during your pregnancy, obviously, cut out the drinking and smoking, like we said earlier.
Yeah.
And eat some healthy food.
Mm-hmm. Right. It sounds like the good mindset is to strike the balance. Pregnancy is not a time to lose weight, and it is also not the time to open the floodgates.
Eat entire chocolate cakes.
Right. Because not only will you probably exceed those recommended parameters, but so will your partner.
Right. It affects everyone.
Yeah.
But I want to know, I mean, how much weight have our listeners gained when they've been pregnant? Has
right.
anyone given them guff for it?
And also the pressure of getting off that postpartum weight. I think that's the thing that might be an issue for so many women is you feel so large by the end of your third trimester, and then all of a sudden you're expected to be back to your pre-baby body.
Yeah, which is silly.
It is silly.
Give yourself a break.
Yeah, write us though, and let us know your thoughts on all of this. MomStuff@HowStuffWorks.com is the email address, and we've got a couple letters to share here. First one comes from Krista, and this is in response to our episode on psychopaths. She writes, I just listened to Do More Men Pass a Psychopath Test, and some of the terms you use to describe mental disorders were slightly offensive. As someone who is diagnosed as bipolar, people often associate me as being someone who is violent or dangerous in some manner. Using words like crazy to describe someone with any type of mental illness or personality disorder increases those stereotypes, as does throwing around words like asylum lightly. I have been placed in a psych ward, and once a person comes out of a quote-unquote asylum, they lose credibility in society because people often assume that to be an inmate, you must be dangerous. Never mind that most people who are institutionalized are there to protect them from themselves, not for the safety of others. So a good reminder from Krista.
Yeah. All right, this email is from Kristen. It's about our sex education podcasts, plural. I told my daughters everything they needed to know as early as seemed appropriate. Then, as they approached puberty, I told them that I was fully aware I couldn't prevent them from having sex and I wouldn't try. I advised them to wait until they were sure they were ready, then come to me and tell me, and I would take them to the doctor for the birth control pill. This method worked. Both girls came to me when they were ready to start having sex. Each was in a long-term relationship and in the latter teens, and I took them to get the pill. I also impressed upon them the importance of using condoms to prevent STDs. Neither one of them has made me a grandma yet, and the eldest is already older than I was when I conceived her, 21. I think the main problem parents have is thinking they can prevent teens from having sex. If you just admit they're going to do it when they feel like doing it, you'll save yourself headache, heartache, and accidental grandparenthood.
So kudos to you, Mom, for at-home sex education. Well done. And if you have anything to send our way, you can email us at momstuff@howstuffworks.com. You can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/stuffmomnevertoldyou, or you can find us on Twitter at momstuffpodcast. And then if you're looking for something to read during the week, you can head to the blog. It's Stuff Mom Never Told You at howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join How Stuff Works staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.